She'll talk black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM and Bumbabrip Media, 19.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from, and to all our traditional owners across the beautiful country, as welcome black, National Talk Black. Have your saying, yarn up strong, your mob too deadly. Now we're going to jump straight in it. AIS, Australian Institute of Sport, partners with NRLW for a world-leading study into impact of periods on health and performance. We're going to catch up a yarn now with a deadly athlete, Genevieve Taboy, on the line. Genevieve, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trav. I'm good. I've also got other athletes around me here as well.
Oh, good, good,
I'll
yes.
Get them to introduce themselves.
Okay, we'll start with you, my sister. Who your mob were you from, Genevieve?
Yep, so I'm born and raised in Cairns. I've got blood connection to the Torres Straits, Murray Island and York Island.
Okay, beautiful. And who do you have with you? And name who the mob?
Sorry, and also Daly River in the Northern Territory.
Oh, okay, Roy, thank you. Finish that footprint. Thank you, sister.
Yeah.
And who else you got there, sis?
Hi, it's Tatiana King-Smith. So my mum's side from Mustig Island, and born in Brisbane, raised in Weipa, and then now in Cairns.
Okay, cool.
And then I'm passing.
Yes. Hello?
Hi, my name's Atuina Suave. I was born in Cairns, raised in Cairns. I have blood connection to the Torres Strait, Badu
yes.
Island.
Badu, yes. Beautiful.
Yep.
Lovely.
That's my mob.
That's your mob claim. Respect. Yep. Who else we have?
Hi, my name's Michaela Stephen. I also have blood connections from the Torres Straits. My dad's side, Stephen Island and Yam Island.
Okay.
And my mum from New South Wales, Narendra.
All right. Beautiful. Thank you. Who else do we have?
Hi, I'm Esther Kevsu. Born in Thursday Island, raised and lived in Yam Island.
All right. Beautiful. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Ariel Hobler. I was born and raised in Cranda, and my dad's side is Woolawandji and my mum's is Mullaridgee.
All right. Beautiful. Thank you, Ariel.
Yeah, so that's all of us.
That's all of you. Two deadly. Well, sisters, very good morning. Thank you very much for coming to the program. So we're talking about an all-female research team. It's come together for the Australian Institute of Sports for a world-leading camp focused on the impacts of periods and hormonal contraceptives on female athletes. So, look, you're all great to be excited to be a part of this platform as such. When you look at women in sport, it has just ventured big time in the last 4 or 5 years. And so you beautiful ladies are front and centre with that, yes?
So we're pretty happy to be here and to be able to contribute to this research. This is the first research.
Yes.
Studying women's menstrual cycle and hormones and how that impacts on our performance in the gym and on the field.
Yeah.
So we're very excited to be in this space, to be able to pave the way for the next generation and women playing an elite sport.
Exactly. So what is the Women's Indigenous Academy? Can you explain that, please?
Yep.
You want to explain that?
Yep.
So there's about 26 of us athletes all over Australia, so Indigenous women. We've come together here in Canberra at the Australian Institute of Sport, and over the 5 weeks we go through a whole heap of research. So we have testing days, which is 3 days, sorry, 3 days over a course of 5 weeks, and we go through a series of tests that we take surveys every day. We have a look at our field, a field session, gym sessions, and pretty much it all comes together at the end. We get feedback on how our menstrual cycle affects our performance and how we're feeling at the end of the day.
Girls, have this research as such, has it been done with non-Indigenous females? Is this the first of its kind? Is it only with First Nation women?
It's a first of its kind for non-Indigenous and Indigenous.
And what is the pathway coming out of the camp? What opportunities will you potentially have?
I'll just hand it over to Atuina.
Okay, please.
Okay. From this camp, moving forward from this camp,
the girls are up for selections to for the Prime Minister's 13.
Yes.
And also the Indigenous All-Stars.
All right, fantastic. And what have you learned so far, or what would you take home from the research?
Moving forward from this camp, well, what I've taken from this camp is that, well, I've learned a whole bunch of things being at this camp. There's been a whole bunch of research that's new to me. We've made a whole heap of new friends.
Yes.
And just connecting to country, really.
Mm. And like I said, it's paving the way for other sisters coming into the world of sports, so to speak. NRLW doing their bits and regarding protecting this this platform and educational research, so to speak. So to have a strong foundation for moving forward, yes?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. The ladies in this camp, like, we all, that's what we aspire to do. We do aspire to inspire our younger generation coming through. And we do have a lot of, like, younger females, like, younger girls who obviously look up to us. And so, yeah, we're here paving the way for them.
Yeah, exactly. And, of course, with AIS, Australian Institute of Sports, partnering with the NRLW, there's got to be health or doctors or nurses at the table as well in regard to the research and how the human anatomy works, yes?
Yeah, that's correct, Trev. So we've got, like, doctors on board in the research team, dietitians, physios, I think even, like,
psychologists, I would think, too.
Yeah, like sleep doctors as well. So pretty much a range of studies that will be happening, like, while we're here through the research team, will be our sleep, our body composition, our dietary, and I think and hormones as well. So that's what we're being studied for.
Exactly.
While we're here as well.
And Genevieve, I will say this, it then creates the so-called, well, the research will then show how the female anatomy operates in the world of sports and professional sports and constant training and dietary, plus the mental capacity as well. It just helps Yeah, you there? You lost me. Hello? Can you hear me, Genevieve? We'll try and get Genevieve back. Genevieve Tabua, and she's an athlete. Lost her there. We're yarning about the partners of NRLW and Australian Institute of Sport for world-leading study into the impacts of periods on health and performance. So an all-female research team. They've all come together in Australian Institute of Sports for a world-leading camp focused on the impacts of periods and hormonal contraceptives on female athletes. So the Female Athletics Research Camp will see 26-odd members of the NRL Indigenous Women's Academy train full-time at AIS in Canberra while being monitored, supported daily by 12 female research conducting 10 different studies. But we'll try and get Genevieve back and continue that yarn. Genevieve, you there, sister?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, how you mob hang up on me like that? Knock off. So I'm just talking about this research here, my sisters, in regard to the findings. It'll help not only First Nation women, but all women who are attending, who are about to step into the professionalism of sports as pros. Yes?
Yeah, that's correct. Like I said before, I'm not too sure if you heard before, but what is being studied here currently in this camp is our sleep, our body composition, our dietary, what else? I think our iron levels, and speed and strength as well. So that's all being studied while we're here on camp.
Yeah, which is beautiful. So you're virtually acting as guinea pigs then, aren't you, my sisters? You there? Hey, knock off. Lost the girls again. Look, we've finished our conversation. Beautiful yarn. Genevieve Tabua and talking with the other sisters involved as well. Tatiana, Ituini, Ariel, Sarika, and also Esther. and all First Nation girls, women, who are at the Australian Institute of Sports in regard to this study, this research. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black. Deadline number here, 1-800-422-416. When the sunshine says good morning, I say what's up, 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 what's up with you? When the sunshine says good morning, we can take a break and hold up. Hold up. Yeah. We can take a day and let it all come back. Okay. We can take a break and hold up. Hold up. Hello. We can take a day and let it all come back. Fresh around. Sheets on the bed where I never sleep. Never. No days off, I got a job I could never leave. Never. The pedigree, you could never find a better team. 25-8, make it stretch like a limousine. Burning candles with the kerosene. Trying to make it work from the little that they're giving me. And even if it mattered, it don't mean a thing. 10,000 carats or no diamond rings, it don't mean a thing, it don't mean a thing. You gave me your world, you don't owe me a thing. You don't owe me a f- good morning. When the sunshine says good morning, yeah, I trip sometimes if I'm one man, I'll cut it off. We can take a break and hold up. Hold up, okay. We can take a day and let it all come back. We can take a break and hold up. Hold up, yeah. We can take a day and let it all come back around. Each day rolling to the next. Next. I took leaps and bounds, but I never skipped a step. Put it on the bench just to get it off my chest. Okay. New sheets fresh on the bed where I still haven't slept. Come on in. We'll be on till the break is on. We let it pop to the tape record and we'll be done when we say we're done. We'll give a break and we'll save you some maybe. Then it all comes back around. Then it all comes back around. When the sunshine says good morning.
Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416. 422 416.
Yeah, that daily track, One Blood, Yothu Yindi, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying Yana up strong? 1-800-422-416, number you need to call. Yana with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. I come to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on your Yindi country as BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can also text me, 045-714-0550. Don't forget our Facebook page, right, BBM 987 FM. All right, let's talk AFL. It's so sad, but racism raises ugly head again here in Cairns. We had the Alliance Football Club, first-rate team, who won their game against Saints here in Cairns last weekend and got to the grand final. So they sit out this week, waiting to see who they play against in regard to Saints take on now Port Douglas, and winner will meet City Lions here in Cairns for the grand final the following week. But after the game, the win that Lions defeated Saints, there's a statement here, social media, from Aaron Davey. Aaron Davey, former Melbourne Demon player, 10, 11 odd years he played down there, and he's been coaching up here for about 4 years with the City Lions. They won the premiership last year, first time in 38 years, led the way with his deadly team. He's a captain coach, and he was just made on social media, made a statement after coming off the field winning. He says, "Proudest man with our club and these men getting the win today. Taking us into the GF. However, to dampen what was a special win today for our club, supporters verbally abused me, in which I give as good as I get on the field. However, in my whole football career, I have not been a victim of racism and experienced that today, and was told today to piss off and go live back in your tin shed, you gimp." From a past player of the opposition. "The most saddest thing, my kids and partner were exposed to this over the footy game. Bring on the GF, and if I'll be doing my best to make a stand against racism. Watch this space." And with that, the Cairns AFL did get involved in that conversation, and I believe they found the culprit, brought him to the table, and I believe Aaron Davey had a chat to him. We reached out to Aaron, with no luck for him to come and add to the conversation. Also opened up this opportunity for AFL Cairns to come and talk as well, and also Lions Football Club, City Lions, as well as Saints. The statement here, AFL Cairns statement, is AFL Cairns is aware of an alleged incident of racial vilification for comments made by a spectator this weekend to Cairns City Lions player Aaron Davey. Upon receiving the report, immediate action was taken to offer support to Aaron and commence an investigation into the comments. Within 48 hours, mediation between both parties was resolved the issue. However, the incident highlights the need for ongoing education across our footballing community. AFL Cairns would like to apologise to Aaron and his family. No person should ever be targeted by abuse or racism of any kind. AFL Cairns condemns racism in all its forms and is committed to providing a safe environment for all members of our football family. There's no place for racism racism in our game. AFL Cairns is proud to have a large Indigenous participation across all male and female competitors, from players, coaches, match officials, staff and volunteers. We stand strongly through events such as Indigenous Round and Indigenous South Pacific versus All Stars, representing fixtures. Clearly, there is still further education required. AFL Cairns is committed to working with our clubs to provide the education through the remainder of 2022 final series and all seasons. Anyone who has experienced racial vilification in any form is encouraged to report it to your club or competition manager. Furthermore, if you'd like to be involved in strengthening football operations manager, then please get in touch with us. And that was a statement by AFL Cairns. And there was a statement as well by the Saints Football Club here in Cairns. And the Saints Football Club states that the Cairns Saints strongly condemn racism, discrimination and vilification at any level. We're deeply disappointed to hear that a former player made a completely unacceptable comment towards Aaron Davey following our game last Saturday. As a club, we condemn such comments and behaviour. The Cairns Saints wish to extend a sincere apology to Aaron and his family for the hurt this has caused. Cairns Saints are proud of our First Nation members, both past and present, and the contributions they have made in the success of our club and the great culture that we all share in. We pride ourselves on our inclusivity and integrity. Cairns Saints continues to foster a safe, respectful and inclusive environment for all players, members and supporters to enjoy our game, and all will continue to call our unacceptable behaviour. So that was a statement there, raises ugly heads, and hats go off to Aaron, and sorry for what has happened to you and your family. And reached out for Aaron, and he meant to get back in touch with him, but the door is open for him to converse on this program, as well as AFL Cairns, City Lions, and also Cairns Saints. Please add to the conversation, and we need to stamp out racism in all facets. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black. Daily number here is 1-800-422-416.
Bye. folks. Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
Turn back time to live how we used to live, living in the dream time, 'cause I know that's what I've left behind. Living in the bush is where I wanna be, yeah. Running wild and living free, living with Mother Nature, traditional aborigines. Look at the world around me, around me. I'm a modern aborigine, living in a world of reality. I wanna keep my originality. I don't wanna lose my identity. I'm a modern aborigine, living in of my ancestors. They are calling out for me to go back to my dream time that I'll never leave behind, to be initiated man, to keep my culture flowing in the land. Cook of the Murning and the Wirangu tribe clan.
Modern Aborigine here with us. That's with Jason Lee Scott, and you're yarning with Baldy One here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. We're live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country, BBM Bumbra Bit Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to the NERS National News Radio Service. It is your vehicle, so do utilise it and give us a call, have you say 1-800-422-416. Yeah, I'm with the Bully One here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie. Let's look at top stories news. Yes, very sad. Queen Elizabeth II dies aged 96. Now Charles III, now King, leads tributes. And this was the moment the crowd outside Buckingham Palace learned the Queen had died. A picture here of the mass of people. What happens in Australia now that the Queen has died? And now that the moment is here, what kind of king will Charles III make? Queen Elizabeth II's sense of duty hid a sharp mind and mischievous streak. Other news here, Stephanie Gilmore wins 8th world title, becomes greatest of all time. That's in surfing. Ukraine's counterpart takes Russia and everyone else by surprise. What happens to Australian money now the Queen has died? Emil Clooney wore 2 knockout dresses on one night. These are the headlines for today's news. Queen spotted in clouds moments after death. There's a picture there of the clouds over England and looking like the shape of the Queen wearing her crown. Inside the Queen's extraordinary wealth, Geelong Hawkins shock, 2023 salary revealed. Dragons close on Tigers rake, banner formed star launches, NRL comeback bid. Roger Federer's devastated act after Queen's Elizabeth's death. The chaser divides opinion by mocking Queen's death too soon. Venice, world premiere of Andrew Dominic's Blonde generates rapport. So they're the headlines for the news today. Have you saying Jan Armstrong? Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on our National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
It's no good, this feeling of sorrow. Just go out and face it alone. And I'm waiting tonight, I'm watching the night, and I'm thinking of just going. So come on, you restless young rider. Come on, you young roving kind. Unless you're prepared, it's not like you've heard. 'Cause you find that you run out of time. So come on, you restless young riders. Come on, you young roving kind. Unless you're prepared, it's not like you've heard. 'Cause you'll find that you run out of time. But it's not like it seems, 'cause your heart will just turn you around.
Yeah, long way from home. Knuckles Band here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416, number you need to call. Yarn Up with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Coming to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM Bumber Drip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong, your mob to Delhi? The Australian government dropped its push to deport Indigenous non-citizens, but many remain in limbo without basic rights. And the Australian government is under pressure to urgently resolve a legal grey area that has seen some Indigenous people unable to work or access government services for years. In late July, Attorney General Mark Dreyfus dropped a legal case in which the previous government sought to challenge a High Court ruling that Indigenous non-citizens could not be deported. The Love and Thumbs or judgment handed down in 2020 applies to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who do not hold citizenship because they were born overseas. It found powers in the Migration Act to deport people who have committed serious crimes do not apply to Indigenous non-citizens because they are considered aliens in the Constitution. Indigenous rights activists advocates have welcomed the decision to drop the challenge, but said legislatively reform is needed to give full effect to the landmark judgment. Deputy Director of the University of New South Wales Indigenous Law Centre, Dani Larkin, said Indigenous non-citizens had been living with crippling uncertainty for years. And we have Dani on the line. Dani Larkin, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good, thanks.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. And before we start, sister, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
So I'm Dani Larkin. I'm a Bundjalung woman from northern New South Wales, in Grafton.
Yes.
And I'm also a Kanarakan woman from the Northern Territory.
All right, beautiful. Good footprint. Thank you so very much. So, how you say, Indigenous non-citizens had been living in a crippling uncertainty for years. So if they're born overseas, but their blood is still First Nation, is it not?
Yeah, exactly. And so while this applies to just a small group of, you know, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, you know, it's still, you know, mob.
Yes.
Still first people to this land, sovereign people to this land. And we've got, you know, well-established legislative principle and precedent from, you know, Mabo back in 1992 that, you know, That says if you're, you know, Indigenous, you identify as Indigenous, you're, you know, actually descended as an Indigenous, so there's bloodline connection there and mob recognise you, that you're Indigenous. And so, you know, the court, you know, realises that connection and our, you know, our own sort of self-determined citizenship in that respect in terms of, you know, it's up to us to be able to, as a community, you know, communities dispersed across Australia, identify people as our own.
Yes.
You know, we have to do more since Love and Tom. The decision needs to be properly implemented in law to make sure these people have rights protected.
So just explain, Dani, where we at with it then. Have the rules changed as such that it protects Indigenous non-citizen or it doesn't?
It doesn't. So, I mean, like, just take a look at history of what the migration framework's about, right? Like, you know, when we look at Federation and we look at the exclusion of Aboriginal people from participating in the drafting of the Constitution, these types of things weren't able to be recognised well in advance so that we're not, you know, grappling in 2022 with these types of issues about understanding the status and belonging of to country of Aboriginal people. And but from that Constitution, you know, we have the aliens power and we have the external affairs power within it. And because, you know, mob weren't able to talk about, you know, their status and place within this country, we've had a whole migration, you know, framework come out of that. And the framework is, you know, from the outset it was about, you know, discriminating against people of colour, but particularly, you know, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. And, you know, it needs to be, you know, reformed in a way that not only implements the decision of Love and Tom. So right now we've got, you know, a small group of people, but, you know, mob nonetheless, that are living in this country, that's been living in this country for, you know, almost their whole life. And, you know, they need to have access to the necessary services and support that all of us mob need, whether we're citizens or not. And most mob are, you know, citizens because they're born, you know, in Australia. But a lot of us don't regard ourselves as Australian citizens. Like, I'm a Bundjalung Kanarakan woman at the end of the day. And so, you know, there needs to be progression with the Australian government's understanding of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander experiences, but, you know, the way in which we view our status as a collective group of, you know, colonised peoples in this country and sovereign peoples in this country. And for most of us, despite legally being considered as citizens, we don't qualify ourselves as citizens, but we deserve the right to dignity, you know, civil rights and liberty through accessing services that, you know, enhance our life.
Exactly.
And, you know, protect our you know, experiences and rights and allow us to flourish.
Darling, that shows also
more vulnerable than ever.
That shows also a great opportunity in regarding if we had a voice to Parliament, could tackle these sort of issues. You know, we have First Nation people here in Australia who are fighting for their Aboriginality, you know, to prove that point. Mm-hmm. It must be hard for our brothers and sisters who are born overseas, but the bloodline is strong here to the Big Island.
Yeah, exactly. And this is just about, like, you know, this is always going to happen. It's just what happens when you become a more diversified Australia. And, you know, a lot of us mob have different kinds of, you know, kinship connections to overseas, but there's a different kind of connection that we have, you know, with our Indigenous heritage yes. within Australia, and all of them can be celebrated and acknowledged, but there's a distinct, you know, unique way that you need to do that through law and policy reform when it comes to the indigeneity identity of people. And so that's what Australia has to grapple with. But this is just a common thing for globalisation, right?
Yes.
A lot of mob are increasingly, you know, with the borders sort of lowering, and especially, you know, given, you know, COVID restrictions now not prevalent anymore, but a lot of mob are being increasingly born overseas, but that doesn't diminish in any way, shape or form.
Well, the blood is the blood, isn't it, sister? The blood is the blood.
Exactly. And this is the, you know, progression that the Australian government needs to make with, you know, understanding Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander cultural identities. It's more than just saying I'm Aboriginal. It's your connection to country, and that's a spiritual connection. It's a long-standing sovereign connection that has never been ceded. And there's all these different facets of our identity that the Australian government needs to finally come to terms with. And it can't just be in, you know, political declarations of saying, yeah, we get it, and you can stay in your own country. It has to be followed through with law and policy reform that actually gives meaningful benefit to our lives. And for these people, that's going to be give them, you know, reinstate their visas, or grant them citizenship purely just for legal terms if they want it, and either way, make sure that you know, follow through with reforming the immigration framework within Australia so that these people have access to, you know, support, services and can exercise their own civil liberties.
Well, exactly. And look, fair to the international rules as well, that brother or sister being born in another country, well, dual citizenship as well.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that still applies. Exactly. But if you've got two First Nation people who are First Nation people from this country, happen to travel overseas and child is born there and they were on holidays, you could say, that is still first blood here.
yeah. And it's just, for me, it just harks back to this, you know, assimilation era, like the early 1900s protectionism, you know, mentality of trying to, you know, find ways in which you can dilute, you know, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander, you know, identification and race. And so if the government's serious about prioritising Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people when it comes to law reform that gives meaningful impact to our lives and protects our substantive rights as peoples, it won't only just follow through with the voice to Parliament and referendum calls, but it'll also be prioritising, you know, those who are affected and have been affected for many years now by the situation of being, you know, non-citizen, non-alien from the Love and Toms case. They're of equal importance. They're, you know, extremely vulnerable people, probably, you know, arguably one of the most vulnerable out of us mob as a people because of their, you know, legal status, right? And so all these things can happen parallel to one another. It's not just a focus on one thing and then do the other, because that doesn't do anything for the people that are sitting around waiting for their rights to be protected and waiting to be heard and counted properly in this country.
Exactly. They're virtually sitting in no man's land, aren't they, Darnie?
Exactly.
Thank you very much for the yarn, my sister. You've shed light on it and forever a fight in progress. But thank you very much for bringing us up to speed. Dana, you take care, my sister, and we'll yarn soon.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye, Dana.
Bye.
A beautiful yarn, and that's Dani Larkin, and Deputy Director of New South Wales University and Indigenous Law Centre, and talking about the Australian government dropped its push to deport Indigenous non-citizens, but many remain in limbo without basic rights. They've still got that black blood. There it is, your mob. Thank you very much for your company. Trendy Trev signs off here for today. Back in the hot seat again on Monday. That deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black, 1 hour program. Love delivering it. It is your program. I'm just steering the ship. But otherwise, your mob, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong.